Well, thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. If they got that on the internet, we're having a little internet problem. But you know, even in the old days, we had to change the ribbon on those typewriters. So it had its problems. And then if you made carbon copies, you were really in trouble. Well, I like some of the old James Bond movies where, and I'm like James Bond with Sean Connery on the desk with typewriters and telephone, no computers yet. Yeah, it was cool. No, he wasn't on it. On the desk in the movies. On the desk in the movies. Yeah. I don't know if he knows how to use a computer today. I don't know. He might. So, okay, let's open the scriptures to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John 16. I've been reading and kind of working a little bit on the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. And so, just call it the Lord's Prayer. This is really John 17's the Lord's Prayer. But we're not going to change history on that one. So, the way man has taken it. All right, let's talk about prayer and our prayer concerns. And first of all, we're glad to have Eve back. Glad to have you back, Eve. Glad you recovered. And Pam wasn't out hardly at all. She just had an operation, came back Sunday, and she was there. And so we're happy to have both of y'all in good form. And Steve, we're glad to have you back in good form. And glad to have you back in your farm. And they had to take some chunk of skin or body out of Steve, and so I told him, I said, well, Steve, just look at it this way. You're a little less an old sin nature than you were before you went in. They took out some of your flesh nature. So you're less sinful right now, maybe. Maybe not by much, but a little bit. A couple of ounces of flesh. So we're glad you're back. And need to be in prayer for the Wises who are in the way of traveling. And Tish tomorrow travels to California to be with her daughter. And so we need to be in prayer for Tish as she travels. And then while there, she's going to a foreign country. And so need to be in prayer for her. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
It seems like I have them every week, but there's a lady in our office whose husband is in his 70s, late 70s.
Kind of young guy, getting up middle age. Oh, wow.
So he's an intensive care.
Do you have a first name?
His name is Buddy.
Buddy. Okay. We'll be in prayer for Buddy that God is doing will be worked out in Buddy's life. And okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, just let's be in prayer for our assembly. Let's be in prayer as we make contact with Tony in trying to negotiate a reduction of rent on this place. And I will have, Leslie will have on the internet tomorrow the proposed request for to vote on. We really don't have any options. We have no options, and that is to, I don't even know why we're taking a vote, but we will, to vote whether, we're going to ask Tony and going to ask him to, if he'll drop it $500 a month. And see, I love the way we are. Would you drop it $500 a month? Oh, and can we have the room upstairs also? And if nobody's using it, can we have those three down there? And how about your parking lot? No. And, so we'll just be in prayer that this is Tony will work with us and see what we can get going. And that. But that will be on the internet. Yes.
Was there a maximum utility rate in that negotiation determined?
Well, it'll just be the same as what it's been. Well, no, over there is out. We're not going to get over there. We're not going to get over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be
Yes. I'd be shocked if he charges for 2 hours up there, the utilities. But I'll ask. Certainly got to know. I'd hate to look down there and see, well, that $200 extra is that utility for that room up there for 2 hours. And I go, yeah, so... And, yeah, there goes that. So we'll do that. All right, I'll do that, both of those. Okay. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And we are in the midst of a wonderful study dealing with prayer. So let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer and test yourself to see if you're in the power of His Spirit. Father, we are so thankful for this assembly. Economics now are difficult in this country, and you know that. But we pray, Father, that you will provide the funds. We can continue to meet twice a week, not even three times anymore. And worship you together, fellowship, encouragement we have with one another. And, of course, the study of your word. And then, Heavenly Father, the ministry of disseminating your word. So, Father, we pray that you will continue to pour into our cup. Use us as you see fit, as long as you see fit. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray in regard to our study tonight that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see and understand. Dealing with prayer, talking with you, what an awesome privilege when we think about it. Some of us have been talking with you all of our life and almost take it for granted. Heavenly Father, we're talking to the sovereign, omnipotent God, creator of all things. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now, last week we began looking at prayer from our study in the Gospel of John 16. And just to get us going back in a moment, point one, first thing we learn about prayer is that we are instructed to pray. So we saw this in the words of Jesus Christ. And point two, prayer is the way that we ask God the Father for anything. And I've added to that, if you took notes, I want to add to that, or praise Him, or give thanksgiving to Him. Not just asking for things, but praise Him and thanksgiving to Him. Just talking with Him. Just communicating with God throughout the day. And not really, maybe not even asking for anything. Not necessarily praising Him, not necessarily thanking Him. But just talking with Him as our Heavenly Father. Then point three. Prayer is like asking or talking with Jesus Christ Himself during His absence. So think about, would I ask Jesus Christ this if He were right here with me? Is this something that I would ask for? Then point four, and by the way, that came from if you ask the Father in my name. Then point four, this is the privilege of the grace of prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Never before in history, throughout all the Old Testament and prior to even the writing of the book of Job, everyone has just prayed to God the Father. But no one has ever prayed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayers have never been answered in the name of Jesus Christ, ever. This is totally new in history. You and I are in a unique period of history. Now, it really doesn't give us a whole lot of information about prayer in the tribulation, about prayer in the millennium. But what we do know about is prayer now in the church age. And we are to pray to God the Father in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And He answers us in the name of Jesus Christ. Then point five, the extent of prayer. anything whatsoever, whatever you ask. So that is the extension. It is whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Then point six, the condition of prayer in my name. And this is where we left off last week. We were in subpoint three here. And subpoint one, in my name, what does that mean? Okay, first of all, in my name, it means that we are coming to God the Father because of our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Which relationship we have by faith in Jesus Christ. Then point two under this, I borrowed from a theologian, Boyce, B-O-I-C-E. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ means praying on the basis of His merit and not on the basis of our merit. No merit of our own, but we're coming to God the Father on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. We are not good enough, anywhere near good enough, on our own. So our privilege to come before Him is on the merit of Jesus Christ. You are never too bad that you cannot pray, and you're never good enough that you could pray on your own merit. And so we spend time in that respect. Now, point three. This is where we left off. So point three. One that we've noted many times, praying in the name of Jesus Christ is praying in reference to the glory of Jesus Christ, not ours. In line with His objective, His purpose, His plan, His glory, not ours. So when we pray, we have to ask ourselves, is this going to bring glory to Christ? Is this something that He would pray for? So how can we know what Jesus Christ desires? Fundamentally, two ways. We are guided by the Word of God. We grow in the Word of God. You become more familiar with Jesus Christ, more familiar with His desires. And then secondly, and almost not really second, but tied in with that, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So this is how we know the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ desires. And last week we finished with looking at 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3 and 8, and 2 Peter 3:18. And this talks about growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you know of Jesus Christ, the more you will identify with what He would desire. Get to know Him personally, intimately. You desire to know how Jesus Christ would pray, then you must know Him and know His love intimately. And so once again, with this in mind, let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Want to know about how Jesus Christ would pray? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading at verse 14. Should be a familiar passage. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, that He would grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, which is where the Holy Spirit works. Now, why would He pray that we be strengthened in the inner man? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, faith in the Holy Spirit. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and that's by the work of the Holy Spirit, may be able, so all of these things, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, this is open to any and everyone, what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Okay, here's the point, people. Is that if we understand our Christ's love, we understand the love of Christ, you'll understand how to pray as Jesus Christ would pray. And note verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly beyond all that we ask or think, according to that, to the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us. That's the Holy Spirit. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and all generations forever and ever. Amen. But here, I just wanted you to see here, talking about ask beyond all that we ask or even think. We understand his love, we'll understand how Jesus Christ would pray. Now, and to all importance of the Holy Spirit, in knowing how Jesus Christ would pray, along with the Word, now let's look at Romans chapter 8 a moment. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll just share with you some of the frustrations in my office and studying and power of the Spirit. I have every intention of Romans chapter 5 just jogging a little bit, double time maybe. And I'm in verse 2 and 3, and I'm overwhelmed with what's going on in the passage. And I pray, okay, you know, Father, does it really matter how long it takes? As long as we reap what's going on in these verses, and the answer that I know, it's so rich that because of his justification, we have peace that we studied last week. And this week we're going to study another aspect. And these two aspects lead to exalting in our tribulation. It relates to our everyday life. Our justification affects our daily life. And this is just so powerful and just so wonderful. But let's look at Romans chapter 8 and read verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 26, and in the same way, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, also helps our weaknesses. Weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, this is written by Paul. And he's already written a couple of books of the Bible. And he said, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And, you know, this, I'm getting to the point, this is very relaxing to me. I don't have to be all that concerned. Boy, am I saying this just right? Am I doing it enough? Da-da-da-da. That he's going to leave me, and then he's going to take what I teach. And what he shows me, and work with each of you and your level of where you are. So it's just so wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit and also Jesus Christ worked with us as far as our prayers. When we come to the point, we do not know how to pray. We don't really know what to ask for. We come with a cautious request. And at that point, people, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us, or even to intercede on our behalf. It's really wonderful having the Holy Spirit as just kind of having fun here. Well, Father, that's really not what he meant. Let me tell you the way what's really going on, what he means, and what he's asking for. That must be nice to have somebody do that for you. When you follow up on what you want to say, no. This is what he's trying to say. This is what she's trying to say. And it's just so wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is doing that. Okay, here's more we gain by Jesus Christ going to the Father. Prayer dynamics. We gain prayer dynamics by Jesus Christ going to God the Father. Where we have to learn about prayer. Whatsoever does not mean whatever you ask. And just because you say in your name doesn't mean that God's got to answer you. It's got to be according to his will, his purpose, his plan. Verse 28 of Romans 8. We know. All right, there's the whole hangs right there. Consistent study of Scripture. That God, not us, causes all things, what we call good or bad, to work together for good. All things to work together for good. Good and bad. What we might call bad. To work together for good. good as the glory of God sees it. God's plan. To those who love God, okay, there's the kicker. Got to know how to love Him. Got to know how to love Him in the power of the Spirit. To those who are called according to His purpose. These are believers. Now, so it is with our prayers. Do not try to control God by your prayers. Do not get involved in what I call prayer abuse. Don't want to get involved in prayer abuse with God. He will answer all prayers in accordance with the glory of Jesus Christ, which we may or may not be able to see. And in most cases, probably we won't be able to see. But we just have to trust. He's working all things out for good. For good. Now, in John 16:23, let me just read it for you. Whatsoever you ask, He will give it. Okay, this brings us to point seven. Assurance of answered prayer. Assurance of answered prayer. Now for this, I'd like you to look at John 15. Let's go back to John 15. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me. Okay, there's the big if. If, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Abide in me, that is in Christ. How are you going to abide in Christ? Through His Spirit that He's sent us. And my words abide in you. Take up residence in you. There are people who do not study the Bible. And they claim they have a great prayer. Oh, I just pray all the time to God. Well, do His words abide in you? Do you know the thinking of Jesus Christ? Okay. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. All right? See, you can't disconnect ask whatever you wish from His abiding in you, and you abiding in Him, and His words abiding in you, with all of that in mind. Okay, this is what I wish. It lines up with the Word. It lines up with the thinking of Christ. It lines up with the glory of Christ. See? So, what peace there is in knowing that God the Father will give all things that will glorify His Son. People, this is unbelievable. And again, I have to repeat, because last week we talked about this. What does this mean? If you ask, He will do it. He will give it. Okay? Got to understand. That's what I've been trying to put these things together. We don't see all that's going on. Now, we analyze, we pray according to the Word, in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows our desires, and He goes to the Father in that respect, and the Father's going to work all these things out in our prayers for good, for divine good. We may not see it. This is why I beckon you, I want to give you a little warning, if you add to your prayers, Thy will be done, that's wonderful. Jesus Christ prayed that. It's not a cop-out. Jesus Christ prayed that. He prayed that, and they crucified Him. He prayed it, and he went to the cross. Be sure you mean it. Be sure you mean if you add that to your prayers. Because what you're saying is, you're not saying, Thy will be done, and I give that permission. No, what you're saying is, I agree with you. Thy will be done, and that's fine with me. If you want to kind of keep the ideal of what does Thy will be done, always add, Thy will be done, and that's fine with me. I trust You so much that Your will, whatever You do, is fine with me. I may not like it. It may hurt me. All these things. But it's fine with me. It's peace in my soul. See? There's just that peace in the soul. The old hymn, It is well with my soul. It may not be what I like, all these things, but it's well with my soul. So that's what we're dealing with in this prayer, whatever you ask. He will give it to you in my name. Now, look, this is an addition. Look what it says now. First of all, we ask in his name. Now, look what this passage says. He will give it to you in my name. See? This adds another aspect. When God answers our prayers, he's answering it in the authority and in the merit and in the glory of Jesus Christ. This has never been done before in history, people. New age. Church age is a phenomenal period of history. So we approach the throne of grace in Jesus' name, his authority, his merit, his glory. And when God answers our prayers, he answers it in Jesus' name for the glory of Christ, and authority of Christ, the merit of Christ. The glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father sets up a new and advanced relationship between God the Father and a member of the human race, Jesus Christ. And it's very important for us to understand this. God the Father works through Jesus Christ in us. This is how important we are to God in God's plan. So God the Father works through Jesus Christ in us. Let's note a few points. One, God the Father has made a sovereign decision to give to his resurrected and glorified Son all who believe in him throughout the church age. God the Father has made a sovereign decision to give to his resurrected and glorified Son all who believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, in the church age. Look at John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the ones who come to me, I will certainly not cast out. Look at chapter 17. Coming up. John 17. And let's note, and this is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is here praying by himself to God the Father. Okay? John 17, 2. Let's start with this prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. Now we'll come to why Jesus Christ words it this way, talking about himself. He doesn't say I, even thou hast given me, he doesn't say me, him, authority over all mankind. And we'll come to what's going on with all of this. But I kind of got a head start on it. My little grandson went through a little stage where everything was, Jace doesn't like that. Jace doesn't want that, and his name is Jace. And Jace wants to sit over there. And just, it was weird. It was really weird. You know, is this kid, you know, going out on us here? is he leaving us? And he's over that stage now. But it's going to be kind of what Jesus Christ is doing. We're going to look at it. It's going to be really, really interesting in this respect. And look at verse 24 in John 17. John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, now he changed it to me, not him, me, be with me where I am in eternity in the New Jerusalem, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. Before even the prehistoric world, came into being. All right, point two. God the Father has an active love toward those who love His Son. God the Father has an active love toward those who love His Son. And this love, of course, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14. If you're writing down, we're going to look at 14:21. 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments, faith and love, and keeps them, faith in the Holy Spirit, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. People, he's not going to disclose himself to every believer. There are a lot of believers, I love Jesus and I know Jesus and I do this in Jesus' name. And we know, we can go so strong as to him saying, I don't even know you, to some of these people. And that's going to shock them. But I think it's going to shock a lot of believers. I do all these things in Jesus' name and all these things and that. And they're just going to see it all burn in that great bonfire in the sky. They're just doing it all wood, hay, and stuff. They're just going to go, whoa, you didn't love me. You love me in the flesh, and I'm not concerned with what's in the flesh. Look at chapter 16, verse 27, coming up in our study. Chapter 16, verse 27. Well, we have studied it. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from him. We haven't studied it yet. We're coming up. So, we are not saved by loving Jesus Christ, people. That's not the gospel. Loving Jesus Christ is not how we're saved. We're saved by believing in Jesus Christ. Not saved by making him Lord. This comes as you start growing and developing a love with him. Then you start developing and believing. As you believe in him and you start loving him, he becomes Lord of your life. Becomes Lord in your whole life. Point three. And a strong place to see this is in God responding to the prayers made in Jesus' name. The place to see that God has an active love toward us is seen in God the Father responding to our prayers made in Jesus' name for the benefit and the glory of Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He desires to give it to you. So this is so wonderful to see the Father's love for the Son by how he deals with us. I don't know, just real quick, how to put it into an example, but is somebody that you love and someone that they love and love them, come to your house, you try to give, show them a really good time. You're very generous and open with them. Well, just imagine, the Father loves the Son. We come to him in the Son's name. He's looking forward to answering our prayers. Looking forward to it. Look at 16:23. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. So we have in my name, only here it's not related to the asking, even though that's in other verses. Here it's in the God the Father answering the prayer. Point four. Receiving personal glory from those who prove by walking in the Holy Spirit. Receiving personal glory from those who prove by walking in the Holy Spirit to be followers of Jesus Christ. See, this is how we have this rapport and this love relationship with God. The world hates us. Look at chapter 15 and verse 8 on this. Chapter 15, 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. 5. I'm sorry. Absolutely. All right. Point 3. A strong place to see God's actively loving people is in His answering of prayers in Jesus' name. And He answers them for the glory and benefit of Jesus Christ. 15:16, 16:23. Now, point 4. Receiving personal glory from those who proved by walking in the Holy Spirit to be followers of Jesus Christ. God the Father receiving glory, Jesus Christ receiving glory. And this is proved by people walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, proved to be hated by the world. And this is seen in 15:8. It's my Father, this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And the Father loves that. People, it's so important when we get into Romans 5. I think most of you are aware we live in a time when the gospel, the prosperity gospel, is very predominant. These big churches talk about the prosperity. God wants everybody to be prosperous and all these things. Send $100 to us and you'll be more prosperous. And it won't hurt us either. And this type of thing going on. Well, people, I want to tell you the bad news. You study the scriptures and that's not there. It's suffering. It's adversity. It's tribulation for a short time. That's the truth. There's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. Unless we talk about spiritual prosperity. That's not what they're talking about. No such thing as this going on. As far as our life is concerned, it's suffering. The world hates us. And I think in America we're getting ready to say, for a while America's been a nation under glass. Been a unique nation. Because so many of our founding fathers put in our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, so many things from the Bible. From the Bible. There's documentation that so many things that are in the Bible or in our Constitution are from the Bible. Separation. For example, the three divisions of government. It's from Isaiah. The whole thing of taxation without representation. That's in the Bible. There's just so many things that if you go back, where did they get this idea? It was revolutionary. Think about what happened at the beginning of this nation's history. Revolutionary. That people tell those who govern what they can and can't do. People, there have always been kings and dictators and tyrants and rulers. This is unbelievable. That the governed will tell those who govern how things are going to be done. That just done. But things are changing. We're moving away from the Bible. We're moving away from where they got these ideas. So now we're going to challenge all of this. We're in trouble. Prosperity gospel, boy, when everything's going great. But when things start getting back to reality where the world hates us, it's going to be totally different. Totally different. So this becomes so crucial in our understanding. So point 5, by responding to the request of His Son, He sent us the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 26. So this is what I'm doing here is showing you He will respond to the Lord's prayers. He'll respond to those things that benefit Christ. And He started off, first thing Christ did, He got to heaven and sent Him the Holy Spirit. Boom, He sent us the Holy Spirit. That sets the pattern, how this whole prayer thing is going to work. And don't forget that God the Father allows Jesus Christ to bring all those who believe in Him into His eternal dwelling place, His New Jerusalem, chapter 14, verse 2. God the Father is allowing the Son to take all of those who belong to Him into His eternal dwelling place. This is remarkable. Relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father is astounding. It's shattering. It just causes you to shake how powerful this is. And the faith that we can go to the Father on the basis of the Son, and the Father answers our prayers on the basis of the Son. I want to think about before you make a request to God. Okay, let's go to John 16. John 16, verse 23 now. John 16, 23. Well, we're running out of time, and I'm just raring up. All right. Okay, verse 23. Verse 23, and in that day, departure of Jesus Christ, ascension and session, and sending of the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you will ask me, familiar, the word to ask here, familiar, friend, no question. No question as to events taking place, specific questions. That's what he's talking about in context. Truly, truly, introduction of a new epoch, a new dispensation, I say to you for your advantage, for your understanding, if you ask the Father, maybe you will, maybe you won't, and this time he changes the word for asking, inferior to superior, now you ask the Father, for request, Jesus Christ is no longer here, for anything. Now what we want to do is you want to be able to put in parentheses there that gives glory of the Father to Jesus Christ. That glorifies Jesus Christ. He will give it to you. That's grace. In my name. That's glory. Okay, we have a problem. Number one, prayer. We have problems with prayer. We have much to learn. I pray and he doesn't answer those prayers the way I prayed him. What's this mean? He will give it to you. I think every one of us have had that experience. Pray for something and it didn't do it. And some of us have a whole bunch of them we could do and put on that list. He didn't do that. So we have a problem with prayer. We have much to learn. Prayer must be to the glory of God the Father, His plan, His benefit, and the glory of His Son. Number two, problem. Number two, question. Jesus Christ tells the disciples that they will ask Him no questions, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten them. Well, what do you do when you have questions? You ever have questions about what God is doing in your life? What's going on in your life? Not a prayer request. Just questions about what's going on. I know I have. I know I have. See? Not a prayer request, just a wonder question. What's going on? Well, this is why we are given the Holy Spirit. This is why we are to walk by faith in the Spirit. This verse does not teach that you will have no questions about what's going on in your life. Please understand that. This verse does not teach that you will not have questions about what's going on in your life. He will guide us into His plan. He will guide you to the place He desires to be. What you desired was to be in the plan of God, and you thought it was to be over here. All right, what He took was your desire to be in His plan, but His plan is for you to be over there. See? He will guide us according to His plan. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. All right, this brings up our second big summary on prayer. So we're going to start next Wednesday night with our second big summary on prayer. And this is where we want to begin and just learn some more about prayer. I imagine if the Lord will, I'll be 90 years old and still seeing new things about prayer. New insights, new things about prayer. It's that dynamic. It's that powerful. It's such a privilege to be able to talk with Him, to have that kind of relationship with Him because of who's sitting right next to Him. Because His Son is sitting next to Him. Amen. We live in a time when people are talking about, well, Allah and God, they're the same. People, they're not the same. Let me tell you one of the main differences. Allah does not glorify Jesus. If you're going to glorify Jesus, you're going to glorify the Father, the God who sent Him. That's the whole relationship of the Father and the Son. That's how you know false gods. That's how you know false teachers. By the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus the Christ is not exalted in the Muslim religion. Jesus' relationship with the Father is only glorified in the Bible. With the true God. The true God. The sovereign God of the universe. The creator of all things. He is the true God. And we know that by His relationship with the Son. And we know that the Son is the only way to the Father because of His relationship with the Father. And then we relate all that to our prayers and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of His relationship with the Father, God the Father is going to answer our prayer because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. His relationship and our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why in the prayer of Jesus Christ, it's going to come up over and over. I and Him and you and me and I and them and they and me. People, these are not just idle words. These are powerful relationships, and they affect our prayer life. They affect our daily life. They're very important when we're in suffering and tribulation and adversity. And we're going to see all of this. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so difficult to grasp all the dynamics involved in prayer. In simplicity, we know that we, in the power of Your Spirit, come to You in prayer. But Father, You've revealed so much more about it for our edification, for our strength, to strengthen, Heavenly Father, the simplicity of our faith in trusting You, that we do not waver in faith like Abraham. But he didn't waver and he didn't weaken in his faith because things happened before that. He had some knowledge, some understanding of You. And so, Heavenly Father, the more that we grasp and understand this prayer, the easier it will be for us to simply pray, Thy will be done. And it's fine with me. Father, we praise You. Our study tonight. Pray You'll take these things, Father, these complex things dealing with prayer, have them become a reality in our soul and in our relationship with You. And that Heavenly Father would become more dynamic in our prayers, more fervent in our prayer throughout the day. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.